John chapter 2, verse 2. Y'all ready? Are y'all ready? Come on now. I know it's hot, but let's go. We're going to get out of here quick. Is that all right? I'll get y'all out of here by noon, I promise. They're like, too hot for that today, Jamie. Calm down, Pastor. Calm down. Listen, John 2, verse 2, starting at verse 2. Now both Jesus and his disciples were invited to the wedding. And when they ran out of wine, the mother of Jesus said to him, they have no wine. Jesus said to her, woman, what does your concern have to do with me? My hour has not yet come. Verse 5, his mother said to the servants, whatever he says to you, just do it. Now there were set there 6 water pots of stone, according to the manner of purification of the Jews, containing 20 or 30 gallons apiece. And Jesus said to them, fill the water pots with water. And they filled them up to the brim. I want you to notice that. They filled them all the way up to the brim. And Jesus said to them, draw some out now. Pour some out and take it to the master of the feast. The King James says the governor of the feast, and take it to him. Take it to the governor of the feast. Draw some out and take it to him. And then verse 10, the governor said, every man at the beginning sets out the good wine, and when the guests have well drunk, then the inferior. But you have kept the good wine until now. Some translations say you have saved the best for last. Everybody say the power of his presence. In the Hebrew culture, there was a great importance on marriage. And the marriage ceremony, there was a great importance on the vows and the covenant that they were making in the Hebrew culture. It was so serious to even consider getting married in those days that if you got engaged, if you even got engaged to someone and you decided to call off the engagement, you couldn't just walk away and call it quits. You literally had to write up a bill of divorcement, even and we see that in the story of Mary and Joseph, amen, to where they couldn't just, so what I'm saying, if engagement was that serious of a commitment, can you imagine how serious of a commitment that marriage was in the time in which Jesus attended this wedding and he performed this miracle and he began his earthly ministry? These were massive ceremonies. You can look this up, you can study it out, but these were massive ceremonies, guys. These were everyone. There was little communities all over the place, all the neighbors, all the dignitaries. They would all come. All the friends from these little communities all over the area would come. These were huge parties, and some they would go on for up to 7 days, these wedding ceremonies. And what I love about this story is that Jesus was invited to the wedding. Jesus was invited to the party. Amen. This is what I love about this, that he was invited to the party. He had not yet began his earthly ministry, and yet he gets up, and when he was invited to the party, he went to the party. Amen. He got up. I'm sure he's getting dressed, and he's getting ready to go, and I'm sure he's about to go out the door, and the disciples are getting dressed, and they're getting ready to go out with him, and they're walking around, and they thought, well, where are we going? And like, I don't know where we're going. I don't know. He said, well, probably we're going to the synagogue. I bet you we're going over here. You know what? I bet Jesus has a brand new revelation for us. I'll guarantee you, we're going to do something spiritual. Hey, Jesus, where are we going? We're going to a party. We're going to a party. Come on now. Guarantee you, he says, we're going to a party. And when he got there, I want you to listen and understand this, that when he got there to the party, there was quite a celebration going on. Amen. People dancing, hooting and hollering, shaking their booty all over. There was people having a good time. They was drunk. They're drinking, carrying on like you wouldn't believe. Maybe y'all would. This is Restoration Church. Maybe you would believe. Come on, somebody. Oh, yeah. Y'all would believe it. Oh, listen. Jesus was there. Do you hear me? Jesus was there. They had the head table. They had the guests of honor. They had the governor of that region at the table. They had the bridegroom. Everybody was there. The real guest of honor was not even at the table of honor. Come on, somebody. But he was among the people, and they didn't even know he was there. They didn't even know he was there. The real guest of honor. Did you know that you can be in the presence of God and not get the benefits of God until circumstances change that only God can handle? I said, did you know that you can be in the presence of God and not get the benefits of God until circumstances arise that only God can handle? Thank you for that rousing applause. I appreciate that. You can be in the presence of God and not get the benefits of God until circumstances arise that only God can handle. See, sometimes, listen to me very carefully, God manipulates circumstances. Oh, that's right. Sometimes God manipulates circumstances so that you can come to an awareness of who is with you. Come on. God will manipulate your circumstances so you can come to an understanding of who is with you. It's possible that you're going through something right now and you don't even know who's with you. It's possible y'all are going through some stuff. It's possible you're going through something right now and you don't even know who's with you. And it's amazing to me how God can take and let something happen and all of a sudden you need him. All of a sudden you need him. Amen. Come on. You going? Everything's good. And something happens and all of a sudden you need him. All of a sudden, there's no human answer. All of a sudden, no one can fix it but Jesus. And your whole attitude changes, and suddenly you need him, and you develop an appreciation for him and what he can do in your life. Come on. Because something's going to come up in your life. Listen to me very carefully, youngins. Something's going to come up in your life, and you're going to need Jesus. Amen. I'm talking to somebody this morning. Somebody needs to hear this. God has a way of putting you in circumstances that cause you to need him. I said, God has a way of putting you in circumstances that cause you to need him. Amen. Nobody was praying at that party. Nobody was doing anything but drinking and partying and dancing and having the biggest time. But he knows how, in the midst of a party, to get your attention. Come on, somebody. He knows how, in the midst of a party, to get your attention. You know, it ought to make us tremble. It really ought to make us shudder inside. It really should, church, listen to me, to think how many times Jesus sat back in a corner and he went with us to every situation that we got ourselves into. He was at the party. You know that party? Yeah, he was at that one. That hotel room? Yeah, he was in that hotel room. That other party you went to? That crack house? You know that situation? Whatever it is, he goes to places like that. He's not just holy Jesus who goes to church. Come on, somebody. He's not just holy Jesus who goes to church. He was there, and they didn't even know he was there. And what's so amazing is he's just sitting in the corner. Come on, somebody. They're having a good time. They're partying. Getting drunker and drunker, higher and higher. Let's go. They're unaware. They could care less about him or anything he has to offer. Until the party ran out of wine. Until the party ran out of wine. They care less about him or anything he had to offer. Wine in the Bible represents sustainable joy. Everybody say sustainable joy. The party that the devil will throw you is one that sooner or later will run out of wine. I said, the party that the devil will throw you is one that will sooner or later run out of wine. There's pleasure in sin for a season, but the party always runs out of wine. You got to listen to me, church. You got to listen to me. They're partying without wine. They're partying without wine. And at some points, it hits them. We don't have anything to sustain the party. There's nothing left to sustain this. Something had gone out of the party. Do you remember what it was? To be at the party, but something had gone out of the party? When you first got into certain things, certain wildlife, the party life, it's exciting. It's intoxicating. But at some point, something happens, and the party starts to run out of wine. Something happens, and the party always runs out of wine. You're celebrating, but the party seems to have run out of wine. You're still laughing, but it's not that funny anymore. You're still at the party, but deep down inside, you just want to go home. Because you're partying without wine. You're just partying without wine. You're still in the arms of somebody that you thought would be enough. And now you're partying without wine. That job that you just thought, boy, if I could just get that job, it'll fulfill me. That house, if I can get that car, if I can get that career, if I could ever get this certain amount of money in the bank, if I could ever get to where I want to be, it would sustain my joy for the rest of this. If I could get that boy or that girl. None of the things the world has to offer you will give you sustainable joy without Jesus. Listen to me. None of the things the world offers you can give you sustainable joy without Jesus, and the party will run out of wine every time. Listen to me carefully. The party is not what you thought it was. I promise you, the party is not what you thought it was. You say, well, I sure am enjoying it right now. But you're going to remember this sermon. I said, you're going to remember this sermon.
We're having a good time right now.
Yeah, I know you are. I know you are. You're going to look back at this. When your party runs out of wine, you'll remember this sermon. And what I want you to see in this story, guys, is the extreme patience of Jesus. I want you to see the extreme patience of Jesus. He'll just sit in a corner, and they're hooting and hollering. They're having a great time. They're dancing, laughing, shaking. Like I said, getting drunker and drunker. And Jesus is just sitting in the corner. The party scene ain't as great as you thought it was. Your money don't have as much power as you thought it did. The person that you're willing to wreck your whole world for cannot fulfill you like you thought they could. Because everything the devil offers you, he offers you the best first. And then it only gets worse and worse and worse. Amen. The party always runs out of wine. Can I tell you, there is no sustainable joy in turning your back on God and turning your back on good. There will never be no sustainable joy in turning your back on God and going and walking away from the presence of the Lord. There is no sustainable joy in that, church. No amount of money can give it to you. No amount of success can give it to you. I don't care where you live. I don't care what neighborhood you live in. Oh, if I could just get that house, I would have sustainable joy. No, you will not. You will not. You will not. If Jesus is not the center of your life, you will never know joy, peace, and the happiness that God wants for your life. If Jesus Christ is not the center of your life, church, you will never know the joy, happiness, and peace, and the call that God has on your life. Amen. It was in this moment that something went out of the party. Amen. Now watch. It'll always catch you. It'll catch up with you. Something's going to go out of it. Something's going to go out of the party. It'll always catch. Listen to me. It's like when that thing, you know, that you first started doing, it was fun. Whatever. Right? You start off and it's fun. Now it becomes an addiction. And it was fun at first. But you got to have it every day. Every day. You don't control it. It controls you. Amen. That's when the wine starts going out of the party, church. I said that's when the wine starts going out of the party. And it was only then, listen, that the party ran out of wine. And the spotlight went on Jesus. Amen. At that moment, when the party ran out of wine, the spotlight goes on Jesus. Everybody's looking at the couple. Everybody's looking at the table of honor. Everybody's looking at the governor up to this moment. They're looking at all the celebrities. They're looking at the wedding party. They're looking at all the people there. But at that moment, something shifted. Isn't it funny how we can focus on everybody but Jesus until we need him, until something happens? Ain't it funny how we can focus on everybody but Jesus until an emergency happens? Oh, now I need you, Jesus, because now everybody at this party, they're sitting there looking up and thinking, well, God, if you're real, we sure could use some help now. You want to focus on everybody and everything until there's an emergency. Jesus didn't plan on doing anything. His mama made him. He said, it's not my time, mother. And she says, whatever he says, do, do it. That means you're going to go out there and do something. Now go do it. That's what that means. My time had not yet come. But this was an emergency. This was an emergency. And all of a sudden, the party crowd, again, they're, God, we need some help. We need some help. You know, it's kind of like the church has come to the world's party. Can I say all that? It's kind of like the church has now showed up to the world's party after all the stuff we've been going through the past several years. It's like the world has really realized, I'm telling you, do you see the move of God that is happening in this community and in these areas and actually all across the world? I'm telling y'all, we're in the biggest move of God that you'll probably ever see in your life. And it's like the world has really actually realized that there's no sustainable joy without Jesus. Amen. And we've come to the world's party. The church, Jesus, we've all been overlooked, not noticed, laughed at, talk shows have made fun of us. Come on, y'all. Movies mock us. Even the early church, they threw them in snake pits. They burned them at the stake. They crucified them. But we're still at the party. Hey! But we're still at the party. Come on now. Because we knew, like Jesus, there would come a day when we had more addicts than answers. We knew, like Jesus did, that the suicide hotlines would be blowing up right now. Amen. The world needs the church. The world needs the church, and Jesus is at the party. Hallelujah. Jesus knew crisis would come to every family, and families are going to be going through brokenness, and Jesus just sits back with extreme patience. He just sits back with extreme patience. Come on, Jesus. He's up there. Woo! Glory! Squirrel, sorry. Jesus is just sitting back. Listen to me very carefully. He's just sitting back with extreme patience, and he says, I'm here. I've been with you the whole time. I didn't start loving you when you got it all together. I didn't start protecting you and keeping you from hell and death and the devil. I was at that party. I was at that circle. I was still protecting you. I was there and you didn't even know it. Hallelujah! I was sitting there with extreme patience, just waiting on you. And now's the time for Jesus to give the world what it's missing. Amen. Now's the time for Jesus to give the world what it's missing. I want you to notice how he does it. Look at verse 6. He said there's 6 ceremonial water pots. And then in verse 7, he says, fill the pots with water to the brim. He said, I want you to bring me these 6 water pots. 6 is the number of man. 6 is the number of sin. And they were ceremonial pots. These were pots that were used by the Jews to wash themselves before they went into the temple. Amen. And he said, I want you to bring me these old religious pots, and I'm going to work a new miracle in old pots. He said, bring me these old religious pots. He said, I'm going to work a new miracle in these old religious pots. And I believe those pots represent the church. I believe they represent denominations, and I believe that those pots represent the church that basically has nothing to offer a world that has no joy because we have become so religious. All we care about is our own personal righteousness and holiness. We care about how pure and clean we are when the world is dying right before our eyes. Church, those 6 old religious water pots. And God said, I'm going to use those old ceremonial pots because I'm going to do a new miracle in some old pots. Come on, church. Come on. And I wonder sometimes if we don't wash it, that we don't come to church and we become those old pots. You hear me? If we don't wash it, we come to church and we become those old pots. We get in here and we hear songs like this that God can heal cancer. God can cure disease. And we're like, well, I really don't, you know, miracles might happen, but, you know, I really don't believe much for anything. You know what you are? You're an old religious pot that's full of still water. You're just an old religious pot that's full of still water. And if we ain't careful, it'll happen to us. Well, I don't believe nothing's really going to happen, but it might. Yeah. Come on. Come on, let Jesus fill you to the rim. Hallelujah. You can say what Jesus did then, he can do now. Amen. He can work miracles in old religious pots. What he did, he can still do. What he was, he still is. What he said, he's still saying, church. Hallelujah. He's not the great I used to be. He's not the great I'm going to be. He's the great I am. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. In this service, he can heal cancer. I said in this service right now, he can heal cancer. In this service, he can give a new miracle to some old pots. Right here in this service, church, he can set drug addicts free. He can set alcoholics free. Hallelujah. He can break bonds of depression and fear off of your life. Right now in this service, when you get in the power of his presence, he turns water into wine. He turns water into wine. He turns defeat into victory. He turns sorrow into joy. Hallelujah. Just by being in his presence. Just by being in his presence. That's what the Holy Spirit can do. Listen, Jesus said, fill them with water to the brim. If they would have brought Jesus 6 pots of grapes, and he would have made wine out of them, it would have been understandable. Amen? But they didn't. He said, I want you to bring me something. I want you to bring me something that has none of the source of what I'm going to make out of it in itself. There is no way that water can make itself into wine. Amen? There's no way that water by its own actions can make itself into wine. They're 2 completely different creations. One is water, and one is grapes that is fermented into wine. Amen. They're 2 different creations. He says, I want you to fill those pots to the brim with what I know it can't be to please me. And when it's full, listen, when it's full, here, when you're full of what you think you are, huh? When you're full of your religiosity, and your self-justifications, and you're full of your pride and your legalism and your own holiness and your own righteousness, and then you go through your little checklist that, well, I gave my tithe this week, I went to church this week, blah, 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 blah. And God says, when you get fully, completely full of all of that, I want you to bring me what you're full of that you can never, ever, ever. And when you bring me what you're full of, he said, and when you bring it into my presence because of what you're full of is nothing but filthy rags anyway, your righteousness, he says, then I can do something with it. Because what you're full of, the Bible says your righteousness is as filthy rags anyway. Hallelujah. Jesus says, you come now and bring it. And I can't explain it to you, and I want you to see this. The Bible isn't clear, but it does give one hint in verse 8. He said, when it was full, after they filled it to the brim, he said, draw some out now. He said, I want you to pour some of that out and take it to the governor. Did you catch it? He said, I want you to pour some of that out. That means that they were pouring it, listen to me, from one vessel to another vessel. And while pouring was taking place, everybody say the power of his presence. Everybody say the power of his presence. And while the pouring was taking place, listen to me, church. That's why Pentecost Sunday is so significant. 2 weeks ago was Pentecost Sunday, and that's why it was so significant. It's not enough to just stand up here and sing songs and give you talks from this pulpit. Wine is expensive. Listen to me. If we just sit up here and sing songs and try to give talks from this pulpit, there will never be no transformation. Wine's expensive. Water's worthless. Water's tasteless. Wine's intoxicating. How in the world can you make something like this into this? There's only one answer. There's only one answer, church. It has to get in the power of the presence of Jesus. I said it has to get into the power of the presence of Jesus. My greatest gift to communicate cannot transform water into wine. But if I can somehow become a gateway and I can somehow get people into the power of his presence. Oh, come on, somebody. If I can somehow just get people into the power of his presence, suddenly as it's being poured out, suddenly as you're in the power of his presence, you start changing. If we can just get people into the power of his presence. Hallelujah. God begins to turn weakness into power. He begins to turn worthless into extremely valuable. Hallelujah. Come on. Everybody say the power of his presence. How long has it been since you've been in his presence? Not church, not just another service, not just another sermon. How long has it been since you've been in the presence of Jesus? Not another raise your hands, happy, clappy, see you next week. Come on, church. When was the last time you left church saying, I'll never be the same again? And as they poured it, you can't evolve into what God wants you to be. As they poured it, as they were pouring it, you can't evolve into it. It only comes from being in the presence of Jesus. Right? Look at verse 8. And as they poured it, Jesus said, now take it to the governor. King James says governor, master of the feast. As he poured it, Jesus said, now I want you to take it to the governor. Serve it to the person that has got everything the world has to offer. Oh, come on, somebody. He said, you take it to the governor. He's wealthy. He's powerful. He's prestigious. He's famous. He's got titles and positions. See, we need to serve it to the governors, not just the butlers. Oh, God. Oh, you missed it. We need to serve it to the governors, not just the butlers. God wants to reach the down and out, but he also wants to reach the up and in. Come on, somebody. You know why? You know why? Because they're all just as empty. He said, take it to the governor. Oh, boy, that was a mess. He said, take it to the governor. Come on now. I got excited and lost my whole place. That was good. I want you to get it. You got to see this, y'all. He said, take it to the governor. Take it to the man who has everything. Take it to the man who's prestigious. See, like the governor. He's got everything. Amen. Those people who really think, well, when I get there, or when I get this, or when I get that, I get the 10 million, the 10 billion, the billion, whatever it is. The governor's got everything. And here's the beauty of this story. Jesus said, take it to him first. Take it to the man who has everything. And he had this preconceived notion. The governor already had this preconceived notion that it wasn't going to be any good anyway. He had this, listen to me very carefully, because he said, well, I really don't want to drink this trash because what I got, you know, what I have, what I'm able to afford and what I can, you know, do compared to what, you know, this pitiful little, what's his name, Jesus? What, this little blessing he put out, I don't know, I've never heard of him. Never heard of him. What did he do? That you know, let me tell you, you know who I am? I'm the governor. You see my house? Have you seen the rims on my chariot? Come on. You know who I am? I'm the governor. You know the lifestyle I bring? The what I live in? And then you want to bring this cheap little dirty trash to me that I'm not even interested in it, but I guess I'll just take a sip. And he took a sip. And here's a big point. Here's the big point. How can you explain turning water into wine? You can't. You just got to take a sip. You just got to take a sip. You can't explain it. How do you explain the baptism in the Holy Spirit? How do you explain that God can heal through your hands? How do I explain the gifts of the Spirit? How do I explain walking with Jesus? You really can't explain it. All you can do is try to get people in the power of his presence long enough just to take a sip. That's all we can do. That's all you can do. That's all we can do. The governor thought, y'all just lucky I'm at this party anyway. And I really don't want this cheap stuff. I drink Sauvignon Blanc or whatever. Come on, somebody. And then he takes a sip. He takes a sip. He's like, this is the best I ever had. I had life, but now I got life more abundantly. Woo! Come on, somebody. I had joy, but now I got sustainable joy. Hallelujah. Amen. And now I don't mean that you have sustainable joy, that you're going to have a perfect life and you're not going to have problems and you're excluded from pain and trials and horrible things in life. But I have sustainable joy that no matter what I go through, I will make it. I will rejoice. I will come back because all things work together for my good. You just take a sip. All you got to do is taste and see that the Lord is good. Taste and see that the Lord is good. That's all you got to do. I'm almost done. I'm almost done. Nobody leaving. I want you to watch this. This man tasted that. He took a drink of that and he said, my God, this is what I want. He said, my God, this is what I want. Amen. He said, this is what I want. I know what happened to Jamie sitting in a jail cell. I tasted something that night. I tasted something that night. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. And if we can just get some people into the power of his presence. Oh, you know that's what changed you. You couldn't change you. I said you couldn't change you. Nothing in you could make you stop. Nothing in you could make you turn away. Nothing in you could make you change water into wine. But boy, when you got into the presence of Jesus. Hallelujah. Nothing in you could make you stop. But you get into the presence of. Hallelujah. What do we have to offer people if somehow, some way, we don't get into the presence of God before we leave here? What do we have to offer people if we don't get into the presence of Jesus before we leave here? And we're in it. I can feel it. We're in it. You heard him walking up there. Hallelujah. And we're going to end with a song, because when our praises go up, his presence comes down. Glory to God. Now, watch what the governor says in verse 10. He said, my goodness. My goodness. Look at verse 10 right here. He said, people at the beginning serve the best first. And then when everybody's well drunk, they break out the inferior. He said, but you saved the best for now. Glory to God. The best for right now. In this moment. Hallelujah. He's here this morning. Now, fast forward 3 years. The best until now. Right now. Fast forward 3 years, church. Jesus turns. And he says to his disciples, he said, I want you to go into Jerusalem. I'm going to go to heaven. No. No, Lord. Don't go. You're the best. We can't make it without you. You're our comforter. When we get in storms, you walk on the water. When we need provision, you make fish pay our taxes. You're our comforter in the storms of life, in the trials of life. You can't leave us, no. And he said, it's all right. John 14, 16, he said, I'm going to send another comforter. Hallelujah. He said, it's all right. I'm going to send you another comforter. He'll hold you at the graveside of a loved one. He'll be there in the middle of the night when your mind's racing and you don't know what to do. He'll come like a comforter and attach himself to you, because I'm going to go away and you thought I was the best. He said, but I'm sending you a gift called the Comforter, the Holy Spirit. So can you see those 120 disciples? Can you see those 120 disciples? Mary, the mother of Jesus, was in there. James, John, Peter. They all go in the upper room. And he says, I want you to stay there until the day of Pentecost. And they're trying to have church. They're trying to have a party. They just ain't got no wine. They're up there having a dead, dry church service. And that's why I'm glad I'm in a spirit-filled church. I said, that's why I'm glad I'm in a spirit-filled church. I'm sorry, but there's a difference. I said, I'm sorry, there is a difference. And may we always keep it that way. Never let us become old, dead, religious pots full of still water at this church. May that never happen at Restoration Church. May we never be ashamed of the power and the anointing. May we always rely on the power of His presence more than our talent, more than our gifts, more than anything we have. We can't transform anyone. Only Jesus can. Hallelujah. Somebody praise Him this morning. Praise Him this morning. The Spirit filled the whole house they were sitting in. Filled the whole house. And then they were all filled with the Spirit. God done it then, and God can do it now. Come on, somebody. I need 120 of you to praise the Lord like you're in the upper room. I need 120 of you to shout and let the Spirit come and in His presence in Jesus' name.
If you had water in